Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. You are about to hear from Keith Morgan, Emergency Management Coordinator for Story County, and Chris Perrin, Emergency Management and Security Coordinator for Mary Greeley Medical Center. They will describe the local process of helping healthcare facilities improve their disaster preparedness.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you.
Chris has done some great work helping both local healthcare facilities improve their disaster preparedness and bringing them up to federal codes. Keith, would you like to lead the discussion with Chris?
Sure. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about this. A lot of people don't realize how much our medical facilities are all interlinked and how difficult it can be to prepare them for a disaster. And some recent changes to federal code that Chris is going to talk about have been put in there to incentivize them to do a better job of disaster preparedness. But it wouldn't have gotten to the place that it has without some of the great work Chris has been doing over at Mary Greeley. He's brought together the agencies that provide medical and health care across Story County and is helping to facilitate their advancement of their emergency planning and, more importantly, coordinating it to make it so that it's more efficient and effective across the whole county. And I'd like, first off, Chris to talk about, he's more the expert on this stuff than I am, about the changes to some of the federal code and like that and how it's presented challenges to our local medical facilities and also some of the planning and exercises that he's working on. Chris?
Thanks, Keith. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that we've counted a lot on your help and expertise, as medical is one of several essential functions, and plugging medical into the overall local response plan is has been key. What we're really dealing with is Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Systems or Services rule, emergency preparedness rule, that came into being in November of last year, and it comes into the expectation of full compliance for medical facilities that receive dollars from Medicare and Medicaid by November this coming year.
Chris, can you describe exactly what these places are? Are these clinics? Are they places that dispense pharmacy, or what are the actual locations?
Good question. There's 17 that are identified in the Medicare rule, and they would include clinics, hospitals, critical access hospitals, long-term care facilities, dialysis centers, even transplant centers.
Okay.
So the idea was kind of building on some things that other regulators had done. And for Mary Greeley, we've worked with the Joint Commission for a number of years, and the Joint Commission focuses on hospitals in particular. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid wanted to come together and bring other medical facilities into a kind of a similar line of compliance. So they came up with some kind of rules or standards or guidelines, and they include the need to do a couple of exercises a year, one of them of which needs to be a community exercise. So,
and again, this is in preparation for an emergency.
Correct.
That would occur.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Part of what they expect folks to do is to do a really good, hard look at your local risks and come up with a hazards profile, and then get together with other healthcare providers and run simulations. And united we stand, divided we fall in terms of support when there's a disaster. And I think
so
we're realizing that.
If I could, I just want to make sure I've got the right picture in my mind here.
Sure.
So I'm thinking of sort of, say, a long-term care facility, and there's a disaster, and you've got to move all these, say, bedridden people. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about, or am I completely on the wrong track?
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think what Kay is asking is the disaster happening to the facility, or is it in preparation for a disaster happening somewhere else and the facility being ready to deal with the problems that the disaster dealing with injured people or whatever?
Both.
Does that question make sense?
Really, well put, and it's really both. The expectation is that they be able to provide a good, effective response and communication and safe movement of resources, supplies, and people if necessary, and that would include moving them away from their facility if necessary or accommodating other medical facilities as we need to move folks around.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can imagine that there is a lot more it's a lot more complex, even starting from do you move these patients, because there's a big risk in moving a lot of these patients that have already got medical issues. The information requirements, just as you were saying, if one care facility keeps its documents in one form and you've got to transfer this patient to another facility and they don't understand how or where the information is kept, it can make it very, very difficult, and some very simple things can be done to smooth out this process. But it's simple until got to get everybody together, get everybody on the same sheet of music to put together plans, to train to those plans, and to actually do exercises. And the federal guidance was very aggressive. When was it actually published? Like beginning of this year, and they gave them about 6 months to go from nothing to completing one full-scale exercise, which is actually moving people and things around, and another one, which is a tabletop where we all sit down and talk through. So it's been more than my office could have ever possibly been able to facilitate, and that's where Chris has come in and brought together all of these agencies, which different levels of care that they're providing, and he's got them talking, and that talk is leading some real progress on this.
It's a start.
Sounds like a huge undertaking. Mm-hmm.
It is, but it's like eating an elephant. It's one bite at a time. So we've got about a dozen healthcare providers that we started with. And as Keith mentioned, the rule was published in November, but an explanation of what the expectations were didn't really come out until about April of this year. Mm-hmm. And full compliance is expected in November. So
give us a sense of what these expectations are.
Well, they're expecting people to collaboratively come up with what their risks are, create a kind of an all-hazards base plan, then come up with policies and procedures, have a communications plan, both internal and external, and then to exercise that.
So you see, like looking at the threats, most of us think about natural disasters as one of them, but there's always the man-made disasters, a hazardous materials event that could occur, could be one of them, or just pandemic, which will really stress the healthcare system because they have increased number of people that they have to care for, plus their own staff is going to be affected by these kind of disasters. And each one presents a different level and a different type of challenges for them.
So we're talking about potentially floods, tornadoes, disease epidemic, chemical spill. Those are the kind of scenarios you're laying out.
Some that are going to happen very, very rapidly. Some that will be slow building. Some that will be over in a day or so. And some that could last potentially months.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I think that I know that I am, and I'm sure somebody listening to this is trying to visualize what you're talking about, Chris. Are you saying that you are making a plan where you literally could move everybody out of Mary Greeley Hospital if something happened to the building?
That would be one of the many plans that we put together. We're fortunate that we've had some great expansion, and so we look at vertical movement from one area of the hospital to another. But a significant event in our community where we had a lot of casualties, they would be directed to the hospital, and we may need to move some folks that are about ready to go home, maybe move them a little bit faster along a discharge plan. And sometimes that includes moving them to maybe one of these long-term care facilities for their final day or two of care. So as Keith mentioned, there's tracking issues, there's communication issues, there's medical records, medications. That continuity of care is really important.
Wow. It's a huge task.
And I'll be looking also, if it's a large-scale event, for Chris and the medical community to report up to us to, first off, let us know what you're your infrastructure is like. Has Mary Greeley, is it still able to receive patients so that we can get the broader perspective? Because this is one of 15 different areas that we're looking at during a disaster. So that communications aspect of it so that we can then reach out outside of Story County and try and bring in resources from other areas to help us out or start to coordinate to move some of these patients, if need be, outside of the county. So this level of coordination that's got to occur beforehand is absolutely essential. And our resources, our first responders, are already going to be taxed. They're going to be doing the response to the disaster itself. So them being as effective and efficient as possible on their own will be absolutely essential to the overall response.
So when you say when you talk about external support to the medical facilities during disaster, are you talking about reaching out to other communities or external supports within the community that would help medical centers?
Well, always start as close to the issue as possible. So, for instance, if they needed to move patients that could walk but they didn't have enough transportation, that might be a request that comes on in. Or just plain finding a clear route for them to move patients from one place to the other is some of the ways that we might be doing the external support. We'll reach out to our volunteer organizations, such as the Red Cross and like that, and see if they have any excess capacity that they might bring into us. But the first thing is we have to know what their resource requirements are. And that's that very essential. It's very mundane to think about, but communications. Who gathers this information? Who passes it along? Who verifies it? And how do we track that so that we make sure that what's needed gets to the right people in a very timely manner? And again, people, they always get down to the more things that they're used to, you know, the treatment and the triage, whereas this administrative stuff is what's really important to take care of the patients in the whole system.
So where do you start, Chris?
We start by getting together and just talking about our concerns and look at the regulations. I think we're really blessed that the folks that have come to the table, actually there's a few of them that have come to the table that don't have to meet the CMS regulations but want to be part of that community partnership. So I think it's just making room at the table for everybody and letting people know we're in it for the long haul. And we start with a communication piece.
And is those meetings are happening now?
They've been happening since this spring, and we're getting ready for some exercises. We're going to do a tabletop, as Keith mentioned, where we kind of walk through an exercise, and then we'll have a full-scale exercise in October. So we'll be in compliance for those that are participating in full compliance by November.
And are there any things that have happened in recent past that kind of qualify as an example of such a situation that you're trying to anticipate?
Well, they've in real life, of course, we've had floods and we've had a couple of near misses in terms of tornadoes where significant property damage that could have resulted in a personal injury as well. Honestly, we've simulated an awful lot of of scenarios, and it could be, again, as Keith was mentioning earlier, it could be an overturned train or truck with a hazmat release in a population center that we'd then have to do some evacuation and medical treatment and so on.
But you look at what happened down in Joplin, where the major regional medical center was essentially put out of action right away.
That's right.
This will help us be able to adapt to that kind of a situation here. Or again, we could even be partners if something like that should happen down in Polk County, be on the receiving end of it. So it is definitely a two-way. That is, as we call it, the teachable moment. People say, oh, it won't happen, it won't happen. But the pictures that you see and some of the after-action items we've heard of from the Joplin, where they adapted and they set up treatment out in the community and really overcame quite a traumatic event. We want to be better prepared. You're never completely prepared for that, but if you've got people talking, they'll adapt to whatever the situation was if they thought through it to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Keith. And will you come back, Chris, as things develop and
sure,
give us an update on what's being done?
Absolutely.
Okay, that'd be great.
Yeah, well,
thank you, Keith.
Thank you for supporting KHOIFM.org. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. find archives of all past shows at archive.khoifm.org. See you again on the radio.